Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Good evening and welcome to the Coco Express Show for Wednesday, November 20th, 2013. I am your host, Aurelia Lyles, and this evening we have Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr. as our guest. Now, this is just an amazing opportunity for me. I'm completely honored to have this opportunity. Bishop Hilliard is celebrating 30 years in the ministry. He has accomplished something that I guess you can say a lot of people have not had the opportunity to accomplish. He embraces every aspect of himself. He is a son, a husband, a father, a pastor, a painter, and a professor. And he has a ministry that encompasses over 5,000. And if you add in the different auxiliaries and outreach ministries that he is overseeing, you are talking about a lot more people than just that. And I can't speak to his journey of the 30 years. However, he can, and he is with us today, and I would like to introduce you to him. Hello.
Thank you. Hello, how are you?
I am doing well, and how are you?
Fine. That was a very, very warm, tender, very moving introduction. I thank you for that.
You deserve that and so much more.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm very humbled.
Thank you. Now, 30 years in the ministry is an accomplishment that some cannot say that they have had. And how do you do this?
Well, you know, I just got finished talking to one of my ministers, who just stepped out of my office just now. And we were just comparing notes about ministry and, you know, the challenges. You know, we had a sudden death in the church this morning. Someone was in church Sunday morning and they died Sunday afternoon. But then you have someone who just got married. It's the ups and the downs. I think ministry, and actually I teach at Drew University. I'm an assistant associate professor in the doctorate of ministry program. And we talked today about the importance of this being a calling. Ministry really cannot be something that you, from my perspective, that you just kind of go into. It really must be a calling that you have wrestled with. Most people, I never planned on going into the ministry. I planned on being an attorney. That was the family plan. That was my parents' plan. And to make a long story short, God won the battle. But ministry is very fulfilling. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy watching lives turn around. I enjoy helping people reach their hidden potential. I enjoy mentoring. If you go to my Twitter page, you'll see there are several young couples that just got married. This is at the bottom of the Twitter feed. These are young people who have survived so many odds. One young lady is a surgeon now. I buried her father when she was just 6 years old, and she and her brother are both not just surviving, but they're thriving. Another young man's parents divorced. You know, we stepped in. I think there's power in the church, and that's one of the missing ingredients, particularly in the African-American community. Historically, the church was the bedrock of our society and, quite frankly, our sanity. So I don't think it's me doing it. I know it's the Lord doing it, because no one can do this except the Lord do it through them.
Oh, because, yes, I do believe that it takes someone with extreme discipline to manage and maintain and oversee that many people. There's a book that I've read. I believe it was called The Tipping Point. And
yes,
in that book, they talk about how the 150, the number 150,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the numbers that you're dealing with, And there's no way that my mind could even begin to fathom that many people around me who are looking to me for guidance and assistance and explanation and just nurturing. I'm just overwhelmed.
I think the key, quite frankly, is the staff. You know, you cannot, of course, when I came to the church, there were 125 very faithful, wonderful people. And those 125 people grew to what we have today between our three locations. And, of course, we don't see 5,000 every Sunday. You know, we will see 5,000 on Easter. We see lots of people every week. But the key is you've got to have good staff. And I really have to dedicate my success, of course, to the Lord and to the faithfulness of the people that I've had around me that have worked tirelessly. My wife, who has stood beside me through all of this and who has shared the journey, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs. And we've had a tremendously wonderful congregation. Many have come, many have moved. You know, in the Northeast, there's been a great migration of African Americans that have moved southward. So we've said, you know, farewell to many good families, or not necessarily farewell, but, you know, there's been a transition. And but my staff is phenomenal. So the staff, I have, you know, four or five pastors. I've got 35 people on staff handling everything. We have a counseling session. We have a counseling ministry, certified counselors on staff 24/7. And we just have a good group of people who just kind of make it all work and make it happen. This has become particularly true this year. I was very sick in January with the deadly MRSA virus that I thought was a flu. And it was a MRSA virus that required urgent surgery. I was hospitalized for 10 days, and I was out of the pulpit for maybe 9 Sundays. And then I was on a PICC line, on antibiotics for 40 days. Came home, had a great 80th birthday party for my mother. And then in March, my mother became very ill. And, my sister and I were taking care of her, and wonderful, wonderful woman. And I lost my mother August 26th.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And so I was out of the pulpit again for maybe 10 to 12 weeks, and still, well, not even 3 months. So the grief is unbearable. But I say that to say that that's a sign of a good team. The church went right on. The ministry went right on. The people went right on. And that's what has to happen. You've got to encourage them to go right on. You know, I lost my mother and grieving, but, you know, and the people have been very kind and all. But that's what you need in ministry. It's really not about me. It's about giving the people the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's key. And that's what we try to do, and keep the focus off us and put the focus on Him, because He's the one that brings us through. I point them to Him. He brings them through.
Now, your church is the Cathedral International, and it is located in New Jersey. You have 3 locations in New Jersey.
Yes.
That's Perth Amboy, and let's see if I have them all right.
Asbury Park.
And now, yes, in Plainfield as well. Now, these churches, do they have like a particular significance to the communities that they serve, or they're just, for example?
Oh, no. No. They're actively engaged in the community. Soup kitchen, counseling work, youth ministries, college fairs, Hurricane, we're down at Asbury Park, Hurricane Katrina. You know, we're very involved, very connected, very involved in their particular communities. What I love about the church is that the cathedral in Perth Amboy is a very large ministry, whereas the church in Asbury Park has about 300 people to it, so it's more of a moderate, normal type church. Whereas the church in Perth in Plainfield is literally a storefront. Now it's jam packed and it's wonderful, but it is a storefront experience, and I think it's wonderful being able to experience the cathedral in three different dimensions. But all of them are serving the hungry, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, offering tutorial services, preaching the gospel, Sunday school pageants, and all of those things that I think are very imperative for church life. Our children need, and our young people, our families, we all need direction. We all need hope. And we cannot live without hope. We must have hope. And I think that's the role. That's my role, is to offer hope to all people.
Now, you also have your own personal passions as well. You are an artist. Now,
yes, ma'am.
When did that happen, and why did you let it go and then come back to it?
Well, I painted as a child. I used to paint as a young man, and then I went off to college. So I painted as a young man and went off to college, and then when I went off to college, kind of, just dropped that and just pursued college, and then I was also preaching at 18. I started preaching at 18. And so there was really no time, so to speak, for that kind of thing. And what really resurfaced was a major surgery in 2007. I had acute diverticulitis, and I had to have 7 inches of my colon removed. And I was on bed rest for there again from Thanksgiving into the end of January. And it was at that time that my nurse said, why don't you start drawing again? And I said, I don't feel it. I want to be in church. I want to get back to the, But I started drawing. From drawing, I went to painting. And that's how it started. And before I knew it, someone wanted to buy it. I said, you want to buy this? This is just, and they said, oh, yes. I couldn't believe it. Well, 80 paintings later, an agent later, my paintings are represented by TuckerContemporaryArt.com, among other artists. And I've had an art tour, Martha's Vineyard. I haven't done as much this year because of, my own illness and my mother's illness. I'm getting ready to do a series in her honor, to her memory. But I just love it. I love to see something come out of nothing. I love to see something come out of nothing.
You have also entered the theatrical arena as well.
Yes. Stop the Funeral premiered in April of this year, and that was a book, that was a play that was written from my book, Stop the Funeral, which is the book deals with a generation determined to kill itself, trying to deal with the whole violent issue in our communities, and it speaks to that whole issue of gun violence, of the importance of families staying together, the importance of fathers being committed to their children, and those things. And that whole piece has been, that was wonderful. Great experience. I had a great writer, a young man that grew up in our church and went away to film school in Los Angeles, and he did a phenomenal job. Dr. Kenneth Hamilton, his name is Fernando Almanor, then Dr. Kenneth Hamilton, he was my assistant, so he was able to kind of pick up when I couldn't be present. He was there, and together, again, you got to have a team that believes in what you're trying to do, and he was very, 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 very helpful. And we were able to make it happen by the grace of God.
Now,
it was sold out, a sold out performance. My daughter was one of the, had a starring role. She sang like a bird. And she's a tremendous actress. She's a tremendous stage presence and a tremendous singer. And she did a tremendous job along with the other actors and actresses that April evening.
And you have three children, three daughters?
Yes. Yes, we've been married 32 years. Our oldest daughter is 31. Our middle daughter is 27, and our baby daughter is 24, and she's married, and so our son-in-law is 26, and all of them are educated, and the middle one and the baby will receive their master's degrees in December. My oldest one has their master's in education, but her passion is singing and acting. So that chapter is done in our lives, and my wife's now in school, and she's a preacher herself. She's a writer. She's an author. She was a phenomenal mother, and now it's her time to spread her wings, continue to go and fly.
That is beautiful. That is an amazing story to hear, because there are so many not-so-amazing stories out there. There's so much going on out there, and you being a man of God who was out in the community, you see things that we don't. We have the holidays coming up, and with the holidays, you have to deal with a lot of grief and depression, and with the economy on top of that, that kind of like doesn't lend to people being very festive. What is your take on all of the depression that we're seeing?
I think that the depression that we're seeing is first of all, we have become a very materialistic, self-centered, a very self-centered, materialistic society, and we are seeing this played out, and the holidays really is not about what we can get, but it's about what we can give. And while we may not be able to give a physical gift, we can give love, we can give more of ourselves, we can give a meal to someone who doesn't have one, we can give compassion, we can give of our talents. And I think these are the gifts that we need to train our children, that the holidays are about what we can do to help other people. And the economy is bad, yes, it is trying to make a comeback. Many people are out of work. All of our nonprofit organizations seem to a downturn, including our church. All of us have experienced economic challenges, but yet God is still good. Hope still lives. This is why it's such a tragedy of these young ministers that took their lives just these last 7 days. They were overcome with depression. And those of us who are called to help and be heralds of hope, when we begin to take our lives, that's not a good sign. That's a sign of despair. And unchecked depression leads to despair. And depression is very real, and it needs to be dealt with. It is a very real, real issue, and it needs to be dealt with. And I'm so sorry about this that it has occurred. Several of my colleagues, including Dr. DeWitt Smith, had a webinar last night. I'm hosting a live streaming program the Monday after Thanksgiving, dealing with this crisis of depression among pastors. It's a free seminar. People can go to my church website for the exact the address to register the crisis that we're facing. They can go to my website, DonaldHilliardJr.org. They can go to the church website, thecathedralinternational.org, and I encourage them to please encourage people to get online. This has become a major, major problem because we are dealing, my friend, with so many, as you just said, we're overwhelmed and we are overexposed. We are unnaturally overexposed to people's pain and pathology. And we who minister must be ministered to ourselves. So I recommend every pastor, everyone in the helping profession, we also need to be helped. We also need to be ministered to. And none of us, there's only one God, and he gave his son, Christ, for our salvation. And we are not God. He's God. And we cannot be God, and we can only do what we can do. And sometimes, no matter what you've done for people, it's not enough. And we just have to move right on for our family, I can experience, I understand this holiday depression. You know, it's the first time in my 56 years of life that I've not had my mother's physical presence at our table in my entire life. So for us, it's a very challenging time, but she would want life to go on, and we're going to go on. We're not doing it the same way this year, but we're going to go on. And so many people are in pain, but I want to end by saying this. In the midst of the darkness, that's what the holiday, this holiday is all about, whether it's Hanukkah or whether it's Christmas, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And I think that that's critically important for us to understand the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness can never overcome the light. Okay, how dark it gets, God still remains the light of the world.
Thank you. And in regards to the pastor, Teddy Parker, I think that's what his name was. Who committed suicide. It was written that a few weeks prior to that, he had saved someone's life.
Yes.
So it's really, you know, it's something, I guess, you, as you mentioned and as you stated, that we so often come to you and come to pastors for help and need and assistance, never thinking that they may too need that same help, need and assistance.
And don't plan on giving it. That's what's unfortunate. And don't plan on giving it. You know, we don't plan on giving it. We are supposed to do what we do. And we who are really called to this, you know, we feed the hungry and buy people's coats and winter clothes and help single parents, and certainly my wife and I have. We've housed people in our home. And that's just what Christians do. We don't expect any thanks for it. It is nice when someone does return to say thank you, but yes, he did save someone's life, and he himself was tortured by bipolar depression.
Hmm.
He was tortured by bipolar depression, and because of the stigma of mental illness, and even in the church, particularly in the African-American community, he never really could tell his story. And if there's any redeeming factor here, is that his loss has put the spotlight on the pain that many deal with on a regular basis. And this is what the webinar, the stream, the live stream that I'm having the Monday after Thanksgiving, as well as others are having different workshops, and you know, people are trying to deal with this and trying to put attention on this very, very, very tragic, tragic issue.
Indeed, because we need more people to help our situation, because in our communities we have some issues with the fatherhood issue, and which is something I want to ask you about. We have a lot of youth out here, and some have called it the lost generation. I don't want to use that term, but do you feel that the generation that's coming up is a little misguided because they have lack of parental guidance on both father, you know, both not having a father and not having an available or visible mother? And I don't mean it in that term when I say visible. What I'm saying is oftentimes the mother's working so hard, or she has multiple jobs, that she's really just not present.
I think that you hit it on the head. She's doing the best she can to make ends meet. And I honor women. I just honor particularly these single parents. I was fortunate enough to be raised by two wonderful, dedicated, self-sacrificing parents. I honor single parents who are trying to make it work. But we also have a lot of fathers who are trying also to make it work. And regrettably, because of the economy, sometimes we get our priorities misplaced. And so our children really don't need another laptop. They don't really need, and they don't really want that. What they really want is more of us. And you cannot replace time with things. Our children are misguided many times because the family's fractured. I did a series of church recently about the importance of table time, sitting at the table. Whatever happened to Sunday dinner? when we sat down at the table, and you know, we shared and we talked, and the food was on the table, and we passed the food, and we said grace, and everyone is just running and on their iPads and on their iPhones, and of course, you know, I'm not knocking the technology. But there, we need more face time with each other, where we are talking to each other and not at each other and not at a machine. And I do feel that this is not a lost generation, but this is a misguided generation. It really began with my generation. I'm 56. And many of my generation got caught up in the crack epidemic. We kind of fell out. And, many of us were just lost. And then we had children, and if you're lost, it's kind of hard to raise children, and then they're not lost, and then those children have children. So it's not uncommon for grandchildren of the grandmother to be 15 years old, to be 30 years old. And this is a challenge in our community. The lack of the big mamas or the auntie, someone who can be that role model with values. And I'm one, every book I've ever written, there is something there about the need for us to return to values that must be emphasized, must be taught, must be undergirded in a very, very special way.
Okay. Now, with that in mind, the church has been, I can say, exposed by some of this, these reality shows.
Yes.
And I want to understand your perspective on how the reality shows are making it very difficult for you to do what you need to do.
Well, I will say that I can't speak for the persons that are doing the reality shows may feel that this is an extension of their ministry. It has, for many people, given people another side of the minister's life. It is shown that he or she, in this case he, is also very human, with very human issues, very human problems. On the other hand, for others, it has they have found it distasteful, and it has caused people to look at all ministers in a different light. I don't speak against anyone. I think people have to do as their conscience dictates to them. Opportunity has presented itself to them, and they took the opportunity, and it is showing another side of ministerial life. That what they're showing is not necessarily the norm. You know, the average minister in America makes less than $40,000 a year. The average minister in America does not live in a mansion. But there are pastors that live very well. If you've been working the same job, even if you were a janitor or a postal worker, and you've been on the same job for 30 years, you've accumulated some things. You've accumulated a decent home if you saved your money and invested your money. So these people that are on these shows, they're not thieves. They just have very opulent lifestyles that are on display. And I think that each person has to answer to God for themselves. And if everyone may not be have the same kinds of convictions. So I hope I'm answering that carefully.
Yes, you did. Now, I'm just going to switch over a little bit to social media in general. What effect do you think it has on the younger generation, our youth?
Well, I think social media, we're one click away from a world of knowledge. We're one click away from, I've got people who watch us watch our service while they're food shopping. I mean, that's the age in which we live. So we're one click away from the Bible. I have a Bible app on my thing. One click away from, but we're also one click away from debauchery. One click away from pornography, one click away from all kinds of wickedness and evil. And I think it needs to be monitored, certainly with children, and I think it needs to be those of us that are adults need to take great care because it can also be an instrument that can take us down. And, you know, all of us really are one click away from a scandal in our lives. And we have to be very careful to try to live what we preach, what we sing, and be examples to people that are watching us.
Okay, that is very true. Oftentimes, it's like the fork in the road. You can either go left or go right. And
exactly.
You're so, oh my goodness, I'm just enjoying this so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you have you've received honors and you know, for your work with the community. You're a lifetime member of the NAACP. What do you do other than painting to unwind and relax?
Well, you know, I don't relax. You know, I'm a workaholic in progress. you know, so I my mind is always going. That's just part of, I think, my DNA. My father's family, you know, is very much in the overachieving. I read when I'm a good boy. I walk regularly when I'm a good boy, and when I'm a real good boy, I work out. But I've not been a good boy, so I've not, you know, worked out or walked like I should. I struggle with weight issues, but fortunately, I've lost lots of weight, and unfortunately, I've lost it as a result of, you know, the grief. I lost 10 pounds in 1 week when my mother passed, so the weight that I'm losing now is not lost the right way. I'm grieving still. And so this year has been a year where I've not... I'm experiencing what's called situational depression. So the things that I enjoyed, I'm not enjoying in this season because I've got to get through this season of grief. But I enjoy painting. I enjoy my children. I miss the house being empty. My wife is handling it much better. She's sewing. She's writing. I work on my sermons. I study. I enjoy that very much, preparing messages. I enjoy traveling to preach and speak in different places. I enjoy my motivational speaking. I will be doing every second and fourth Sunday a program called Sunday Seeds. That's a motivational webinar. I'll be doing a webinar once a month on for pastors. In February, I'm starting a webinar on the importance of being a father. So I enjoy things like that, but if I'm always thinking, and I enjoy what I do. I enjoy preaching very much. I enjoy people very much. I enjoy entertaining and fellowshipping. Those are things that I really enjoy, and I'm working now on doing some more things that are more me-centered. At least that's what my counselor would like me to be a little more concerned about me and not just concerned about other people.
Oh, so you're going to learn how to have some me time.
Me time, yes.
Okay, time. Great.
I think I'm getting better at it.
Well, being that you're a workaholic and you're constantly going, that's going to be a struggle.
I said I'm a workaholic in progress. I'm a workaholic in progress. So, so I think I am in progress. I am far better. Oh my goodness, I'm far better. I am far better than, and probably some of that's because I'm 56 years old now. But I'm far better than I was. But I do have an active mind. I have a creative mind, and I think that's a gift from God. Some of us are just born with multi-task oriented intention. So I'm a good multitasker. And that, you know, the Lord's just blessed me to be able to be that way, and that's who I am. And you know, not everyone's that way.
Well, it's because you embrace that. There are people who have that innate ability, but they ignore it. So it's one thing to have it and use it, and it's another thing to have it and ignore it. So you're taking advantage of all the blessings God has given you, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Well, thank God. I really am. I really am.
Now, if people wanted to reach you or come to one of your services at the church in New Jersey, in one of the churches in New Jersey, how can they participate in seeing you in action, and where can they find you on the web?
They can find us on the web at thecathedralinternational.org, www.thecathedralinternational.org. Of course, the phone number, no one uses phones anymore, but 732-826-5293, extension, well, that will give you all the directions. And that's the web. The church has a Facebook page, church has a Twitter page. My Twitter handle, personally, is Bishop_Hilliard. My web address is DonaldHilliardJr.org. DonaldHilliardJr.org. I don't know my Facebook address, but I am on Facebook, and I don't know my Instagram address, but I am on Instagram, and I am on LinkedIn. I don't know that address either, but I do know my Twitter address, and I do know my web site, which has just been created. But the church website will take you to everything that's going on in the church. My website will take you to everything that I'm doing and will do this year. We invite you warmly to join us for the holidays, because no matter how dark it gets, the light shines. No matter how hot the fire, the Lord will not let you burn. No matter how high the water, you will not drown. Faith will bring you through, and you got to have faith, and you got to have hope.
Thank you. Amen, and thank you. Thank you
and
so
thank
much.
Thank you. It's been a great honor for me. I appreciate it, and I hope to have this opportunity again.
Oh, we would love to have you back, and I, too, will try my best to make it to New Jersey to visit you.
I would hope. Make sure that you hit me up on Twitter, or I sound like one of my kids now. Hit me up. You know, that's how the young folk talk. Hit me up. But make sure you let the office know. My office secretary is an executive assistant who keeps my life in order. It's Minister Catherine Griggs. So make sure that you let us know, and we'd love to host you and have you. And we thank you so much. I thank you so much for this opportunity. And the Lord bless you richly.
Thank you, and it's been a pleasure. And you are welcome to come back at any time. If you have any other webinars that you'll be doing that you want to get the word out on, just let us know, and we will definitely, you know, open up the lines and let you.
I'm trying to find the webinar address, but I will. If you go to the website, yes, I will make sure that Mr. Ellerby gets the word to you, so mm-hmm. that we can. And I'm just so honored that you would push the. And I'm excited about this this live stream that we're doing. The Monday after Thanksgiving, and I'm excited about the monthly webinars for pastors and mm-hmm. the monthly webinars for people with dreams and visions. And in February, Black History Month, we'll be rolling out a monthly webinar to enhance and encourage the dignity of fatherhood. So I'm certainly excited about next year, what next year holds for all of us.
Great. And like I said, we can put this on our website page, so that people, when they do go to my website, they can look and see the information, and they can go there if they need be.
Okay, well, I appreciate that so very much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This has just been an honor and a pleasure, and I want to thank you once again. I want to thank Double Exposure for providing this amazing opportunity to me.
Thank you, and I thank Double Exposure as well, and may God bless you this holiday season, and all that you touch. May it be blessed, and may you walk in abundance and great peace and great joy. God bless you and yours.
Thank you so much. Have an amazing evening.
Thank you. You do the same. Good night.
Okay. Now. Good night. Everyone, that was Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr., and he was with us, and he shared his insights as well as his story. Like I said earlier before he came on, that I can't tell you your journey better than you can say it yourself. So this is my honor and my privilege to be able to do this. Please join us on Saturday when we'll have another show. And I believe it is a woman who has it's like a ministry, so to speak. It's an organization that she started. And it's just going to be an amazing opportunity, because I guess you can say her name is, let's see, Wendy McLean. And she has an organization called Denim Kids Org. So she's going to be with us, and she's going to talk about how she began the organization and what it's all about. So please join us on Saturday at 12:30, and we'll be able to go into more detail. As stated earlier in the show, as I mentioned, I will post as much information about Bishop Hilliard's webinars and events, so you will be able to kind of find out what's going on so that you can participate if you need be. I think these are wonderful opportunities for you to be able to listen, learn, and live better. That's what we're about here, listen, learning, and living better. For each and every one of you, I want to wish you a wonderful evening and a great week. This is Wednesday. You only got two more days before the weekend comes. Hopefully you'll be able to enjoy it. I am going to say goodnight to each and every one of you. I would like to thank you for your continued support, and we're just going to keep it moving, and we'll keep bringing you more information for you to be able to share and enjoy. Be well.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.